And welcome to the Lie-Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We're going to talk about the truth today, just like we do every other time that we get together and visit. The subject today, I believe that we'll enjoy, you know, sharing and trading off information and stories on, is one that we should have plenty of material to work with, and that is Internal Revenue Service abuses. How many of us are afraid of the federal government, in particular the IRS? Every one of us is afraid. Matter of fact, my best friend, whenever I took on the IRS, challenged me on it. And he indicated to me, he said, how can you do this? He said, you know who you're up against. You know they're so much bigger than you. And he said, aren't you afraid? I said, of course I'm afraid of those folks. You'd be crazy not to be. But this fellow happened to be a lieutenant colonel, retired from the Air Force. And I asked him, I said, do you remember your first mission? And he said, of course I do. You never forget your first mission. I said, well, were you afraid? He said, yeah. He said, I was afraid. And I said, well, did you ever think about not doing it? Not going? And he stopped and he thought about it for a minute. He said, okay. He said, now I understand. He said, now I understand. But he was still afraid for me. And just as, you know, you've got to, I'm going to be honest with you, going into this trial this next month, I have fears. I know that it's not going to be a level playing field. I know it's not going to be even. But I'm going in anyway because I don't really feel I have a choice. I'm sworn to uphold the law and the Constitution, and that doesn't permit me any else. There are no footnotes on that that say you don't have to do this if you're afraid any more than my good friend, the colonel, had any choice just because he was afraid going into his first combat mission. Well, we're in combat today, and we're in combat against lies. We're in combat against deceit. We're in combat against fraudulent misrepresentations and omissions. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is what do they do to those who would dare to speak the truth? Some of the examples, one of the examples I can give, and I'll start us out today, and you can join us with your story if you like. You can call in and talk to us about that at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And we can, we'd like to hear your story. I know that there are plenty that have had contact with these gentlemen and ladies of our public servants coming to serve us and assist us in our time of need. And you'll have some experience that they can contribute to our pool of knowledge on how wonderful our government tax dollars are when they are working on us. Now, my case came out whenever I started to correct a friend who told me that there were no tax liability provisions and that the income tax for most people was purely voluntary, a gift, a donation to the government. I told him there was no way that that could be the case, and I set out to prove that he was wrong so that he did not get himself in trouble with the Internal Revenue Service. I got into this because I was afraid that he was going to get hurt. And then I find myself in front of the bus because, as it turned out, he was right. I went far beyond in my research whether or not there was strictly a provision saying who is liable and whether or not it applies to most Americans. But just because he didn't have the whole story didn't mean he was wrong, and he was dead right for a lot of other reasons that he didn't know about. But whenever I challenged the Internal Revenue Service to show me where I had any liability or to show me where any of my income was taxable, then when that happened, they came down on me like a ton of bricks. And one of the things that they have done is that whenever I refuse to answer unlawful, unauthorized, illegal forms of request for information and told them I would be happy to answer anything that they could lawfully ask, then we got bowed up and we've been tangled up ever since. They did. didn't respond by complying with the law, by the way. They responded by subpoenaing my secretary in for interrogation. And whenever we get back, we'll talk about the sabotage that they set out into. And then we're going to hear some of your stories later here at the Live Free Zone with Tom Cryer.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to the Live Free Zone. We're talking truth in order to dispel the lies and the fraud and the deceit. We talked a minute ago about my experiences with our public servants. After they had finished subpoenaing and summoning in all of my bank records from everywhere that you could imagine, then they got to be more abusive, and they decided they were going to come in and rattle some sabers at me. They brought in a CID investigator who notifies me that I am now the subject of an investigation rather than an inquiry, and that he did his best Jack Webb impression. And when he was reminded that, just as I had indicated to, you know, the examinations officer who had first contacted me, that all he need do is show me where I was liable for any tax or where any of my income was subject to the tax, and I would immediately file a return, because it was my desire to comply with the law in every regard. At that point, he informed me that position was frivolous, but I hadn't stated a position. I had not stated that I don't owe taxes because I had not stated that the law doesn't apply to me because I merely ask a question. But asking a question apparently is a frivolous act according to the Internal Revenue Service. As a matter of fact, they have a memorandum, a one-page memorandum going out that if anybody asks questions, you tell them that their questions are frivolous. You don't give them answers because there aren't any answers to give. So whenever the investigator comes in, he decides he's going to reissue all these summonses again. He reissued summonses to all of the same banks. But in addition to that, he decided to issue a summons to the college I went to 40 years ago and the law school I graduated from well over 30 years ago. And to obtain all of my class records and grades, transcripts, whatnot, from those two institutions. Now, I don't know whether they thought that they were going to find out that I was some sort of moron and that I just barely scraped through. But what they found out was that I graduated from college with multiple degrees in only 3 years, and that I graduated from law school with honors, was inducted into the Order of the Coif, and not long afterwards was actually inducted into the Hall of Fame for LSU Law School. So it didn't get what they were wanting. But in the meantime, because they were tracking over stuff they already had, they were issuing summonses and subpoenas for things they already possessed. And because they were using these summonses to the schools merely to try to embarrass or humiliate or put my reputation in question, I challenged them on it with a petition to quash the summonses. Now, when you file a petition to quash a summons and you send a notice of that petition to whoever received the summons, that places a stay, a legal binding stay on the summons. 2 weeks after doing that, knowing that there was a legal stay in effect, this agent, another act of abuse of going out and acting in ways that he's not authorized to act, contacted the banks that had been summoned and demanded that they send him the material he had ordered them to do so, because he had ordered them to do so. They pointed out to him that there's a stay in effect, that they cannot legally send him the material without the court having ruled on the petition and motion to quash. His answer was, I don't care about that. I don't care, you know, what the law is. You're going to give me that or you'll be sorry. And attempting to intimidate them into giving him information that he was under a lawful, legal stay from continuing to push for until the court ruled. The rules don't apply to them. Matter of fact, I got a letter from one that when I pointed out they had not followed correct procedures, informed me that the procedures are for us to follow, but that they can follow them if they like or not follow them if they like, that they are optional on their part. So they're above the law and they're above their own procedures. That, to me, is another form of abuse. Whenever you don't follow the rules, you don't follow the rule of law, then what you're actually trying to follow or you're expecting others to follow is the rule of man. Things to do because I said so, not because it was the law. That's what separates free countries from countries in bondage and under tyranny. It's a letter of the law rules, not man. Nobody can issue an edict to anybody else and say, here's your command to do because I say so, not because the law says so. Finally, if that weren't enough, after I met with the attorney, the U.S. attorney, and we went through the same song and dance about show me where I am subject to this tax, show me where any of my income is subject to this tax, and I will certainly file a return right away. And we'll see what we can do here. Again, they couldn't answer that question, and again, it was pointed out that that was a frivolous question. I'm frivolous twice now. Not only am I frivolous twice, but now officially I've been declared to be a bad peasant because I don't follow orders unless the law requires it, and I do expect them to follow the law whether they want to or not. That makes me a bad peasant. Maybe a good citizen, I don't know, because good citizens do make bad peasants. And good peasants rarely make good citizens. And but at that particular point, that's whenever the real serious abuse started. The move wasn't made to file charges against me or to bring me to justice, in their view, right away. First, they had to soften the target up. Although they had been provided with all of the banking information, although they had been provided with spreadsheets and bottom lines and balance sheets and profit and losses from my accountant, I told him, I said, give them everything, give them whatever they want, and then show me where any of that is subject to the tax. And even though they had all of that information, and even though I having had received fees for my services was not an issue, they sent agents out. They used the bank records to assemble a client list, and they sent agents out to visit with these clients. And the mere show, you know, act of showing up at your home, flashing your Internal Revenue Service badge. These guys carry badges like they're police officers, and then intimidating these people, and then telling, informing them that I am the subject of a criminal investigation, and suggesting that anybody who stays or gets too close to me just may be caught up in a criminal investigation themselves. You can imagine what effect that had on my practice. After 2 years of sabotaging my practice and grinding it down, they had reduced me to financial ruin. And that's when they struck with the charges, then and only then. Now, if you have a story like that, you can share it with us. Or if you have a story about how wonderful these gentlemen and ladies are, the Internal Revenue Service, and want to defend them and say, okay, no, they were really nice to me, and they were very accommodating, and not only were they nice, but they followed every letter of the law, and they followed all the rules, made sure that they didn't step on any of those, the toes of the law or the regulations. You can do so by calling in at 1-800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So what are they doing elsewhere? What are they doing with these other fellows? A number of groups, and I don't know whether everybody's heard of these groups. I had not heard of them until recently. Many of them I'd never heard of. But there are a number of groups that have formed around the country that are trying to bring the truth out. They're trying to force the government to admit. Now, one of those forces that's doing that is a film producer named Aaron Russo, who has produced a film. And he's an award-winning filmmaker. And he's produced a documentary, America, Freedom to Fascism. And that documentary makes it clear the government is hiding something. Makes it clear the government does not want to tell the truth and is just flat refusing. It's dug in its heels and said, I'm not going to tell you the truth, and I'm not going to permit you to tell the truth either. And this film, incidentally, if you do not have it, if you have not seen it, it is a must-have, must-see. And you can obtain that film right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network at rbnlive.com or republicbroadcasting.org. You can order the Freedom to Fascism DVD for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping. And that is an absolute essential that you and all of your friends, all of your neighbors, see this movie. It's time for the lies to stop. It's time for the truth to come out. Now, these organizations that are working to get the truth out, and there are a few of them. There's Freedom Above Fortune with Joe Bannister, We the People, led by Bob Schultz and company. There are a number of these organizations, too many to list, really, because I don't know them all. But for the last few years, the Internal Revenue Service has declared war on them and their members. And whenever we get back, we're going to see what they've done, and we're also going to hear about your stories. Call us at 1-800-313-9443 and let us know what your experiences have been.
Got Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
And we're back here to Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, the bad peasant, the truth spreader, the troublemaker. And all I want is no trouble. What I want is truth. And I expect that from those who serve me. Public servants, I expect them to tell me the truth, and I'm demanding that they tell you the truth too, even if it means that, you know, the consequences that they can inflict on me for even suggesting they tell the truth might be dire. The groups that we have out here that are trying to spread this truth are now too the subject of some trouble that the IRS is able to bring to them. The IRS has been going in, and under the guise of preventing fraudulent tax shelter sales, these people aren't selling tax shelters. They're not even selling them in most cases. They're merely dispensing the truth. And yet now they get to come in under a particular provision of the code that applies to tax shelters, fraudulent or phony tax shelters. And they've locked their offices down. Whenever you seize up evidence, you come in with a search warrant, seize evidence. If there are 5,000 copies of a book and you want that book for evidence, then you take one book. But they're coming in, they're taking all 5,000 copies and they're destroying them. Does that sound reminiscent of book burnings of, in the mid-30s and the cancellation of, you know, the institutional knowledge and conventional wisdom by managing what people can and can't read? Well, they're going beyond that. Now they are issuing injunctions against these people from even speaking the truth. The First Amendment, freedom of speech, is at risk here just as much as your property rights and your right to your own labor. Now, if that isn't enough to scare you, the last little trick that they've started playing with these is not only are they shutting them down, not only are they holding book burnings and tape burnings and DVD and CD burnings, but they're and not only are they gagging people and telling them, you can't speak that, you can't say that, now they're demanding that they want access to all of these organizations' email lists, their membership lists, and their lists of supporters, as though they're going to go after them for having dared to support a group that would tell the truth. We're in a lot worse shape here in America than people realize, and it's time that we all stood up and did something about it. Now, I understand we've got Rita in Texas. Rita, you there? Hello, Rita? Well, we must have lost Rita somewhere along the way. If you've got a story.
Hello?
Hello, Rita?
Yes, how are you doing?
Oh, okay. Well, I was afraid we'd lost you.
Well, no, you found me.
Okay. And how are you doing today?
Well, I'm listening to your program. I've been familiar with this tax fight going all the way back to the 1970s and watched some people who thought they knew the law give some incorrect information and people went to jail. And you were talking about book burnings. Well, if the Internal Revenue Service wants to do some book burning, I think they ought to start book burning the United States Code, annotated. I understand you're supposed to have a legal background. And one of the things that there are several things that come to mind, and that is ignorance of the laws of no defense, and everyone is presumed to know the law, including the Internal Revenue Service.
That's right.
And I myself did a research into this because at the time there were people trying to claim they didn't owe a tax because they didn't have any gold or silver in payment because and that didn't fly.
Yeah, well, now there are a number of what I call golden calves, false idols that have circulated around, and I don't know what the origin of these is, but they do dilute the ones that are based upon what the law really says and what the Constitution really does and does not permit. So you've got, mixed in with the legitimate points, you've got some totally illegitimate, and some of them are absolutely fabulous. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the things that people have offered me as a silver bullet to save myself with. They're absolutely bonkers.
Well, Mr. Dyer, I don't know if there's a silver bullet to save yourself because I'm at the point where I really don't even believe we have a fair trial for anybody in the United States. But I will give you some information that I personally found in researching it myself, and that is you had some legal tender cases that came out shortly after the Civil War. Wherein there were some cases wherein the Supreme Court stated that the credit currency of the United States, which were United States notes at the time, could be declared legal tender and payment of debt as a means to borrow money on the credit of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, what happened is I looked under Title 12. Under Title 12, under banks and banking, sir, there is a statute that defines a Federal Reserve note, which is the currency that is in circulation in the United States today.
Right.
And it states that Federal Reserve notes are obligations of the United States. If you go into Title 31, there's another statutory provision which states that notes, bonds, and debentures and obligations of the United States are exempt from United States taxation, territorial taxation, state, local, all taxation basically is what it amounts to.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the reality is that there isn't any income in the United States that is subject to the federal income tax.
That's an interesting point because, I mean, that, in other words, what you're saying is that everything that's given in exchange for Federal Reserve notes is identical to municipal bonds.
But
we're going to take a break. Can you hold over, Rita?
because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network.
Broadcasting. Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Main. Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
And we're back up and running here at the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We've got Rita on the line today talking to us about some of the research that she's done in connection with currency and monetary issues in connection with the tax. We kind of ran off the runway there. I don't know where we stopped. Rita, you there?
I'm here, Mr. Cryer.
Okay. Now, on your particular point that you're making about Title 12, and the fact that these Federal Reserve notes represent indebtednesses of the U.S.
That's what the law says.
All right. Now, am I understanding what you're getting at whenever I mention or compare that to a municipal bond that is exempt from taxation?
A municipal, any obligation of the United States. That's what the law, under Title 12 of the definition, they define Federal Reserve note. And in the language of Federal Reserve note, it says they are obligations of the United States.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, you hit an interesting note here because it's something that I'm going to tell you going right in on it, is that I have not researched that line.
Well, let me also give you some other information.
I can't.
It's been 20 some odd years since I did the research on this, but there is actually a Supreme Court case, because if you notice, the only ones who are required to file an income tax returns are those who receive a gross income. And gross income had already been defined by the United States Supreme Court, and I can remember the language, and it stated basically, gross income is all that income which has not been constitutionally exempt from taxation by Congress.
Well, what basically, it's even more so than that. But now, incidentally, if anyone listening here wants to get in with their story, you can give us a call and talk to us about it at 800-313-9443. Now, that's out of the way, Rita. Let me explain that to you about income. The Supreme Court didn't define income as, or gross income as such, but the Supreme Court has defined income. Now, the reason the Supreme Court has to define that is that because of the 16th Amendment that brings income into the Constitution, if Congress could define income, then they can define the scope of their power by merely defining the word as broader than what its true meaning was intended.
Well, Mr. Cryer, if I may respectfully convey to you, it sounds like it may be in opposition to your conclusion, but I can't remember the parties in the Supreme Court case, but there actually was a decision wherein the Supreme Court defined gross income, and what was happening, it was a gangster during the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brought to court, and he was trying to argue that he didn't owe any income because it was from ill-gotten gains. And that is when the Supreme Court,
I believe I have read that case. Now, that case, for whatever reason, I don't have it in my notes here in front of me, but I believe I have read that case. Now that you give me the story, it's jogging some memory. For every case that you find, for example, in this memorandum that I'm sending out, for every case, there are 68 Supreme Court cases cited in there. For every one that's cited, I've read 10 others. But the key issue on the income is, and the law even says, if you take a look at the Internal Revenue Code and go back to 1939, back then, this would have been the law during the time of the case that you described. The law was that the tax was imposed on what they called net income. And they define gross income as including everything anybody ever gets in. And they've just listed out everything, including everything you could dream of. But then in Section 22, they tell you that there are things that are excluded from gross income. And one of the things that is excluded from gross income, and this is in the law, okay, and you read the Supreme Court reading the law. One of the things excluded from gross income is any income or any receipts, whether income or not, that are not taxable by the federal government under the Constitution or are exempted by a specific exemption in the code. Now, there are certain specific exemptions in the code. Excuse me. But the key one that to look at, and what we're dealing with here primarily on the issue that everybody's kicking about today, is that other exemption, and that is exemption of any item or any receipt that cannot be taxed by the federal government under the U.S. Constitution. Now, in the earlier versions of the code, it said cannot be taxed by the federal government under fundamental law. Now, fundamental law refers to natural law, your natural rights, your fundamental rights. They're not subject to taxation. And but the Supreme Court case that you're talking about did deal with the definition of gross income, and it did determine that income, whether through ill-gotten gains or otherwise, was income, and that he was responsible to report those. But the problem that we're looking at is on personal earnings, legitimately personal earnings. And the Constitution does not permit the government to tax that. Now, when Congress admits by saying these things about the exemption being that income that cannot be taxed by the federal government, but it doesn't tell the taxpayer what those are. They'd say, you've got to guess. And taxpayers aren't willing to take that risk. They're not willing to guess and maybe guess wrong and end up with penalties and interest.
Well, Mr. Cryer, when you were speaking about, the episode of decision that came back, that was about the 1930s, Bear in mind that silver coin was still in circulation at that time.
And you've got a point as far as the fact that the currency issues were different then. But I think that the point that you made regarding Federal Reserve notes not being representative of silver or gold or any other representative of any other value backing them up, but are merely an evidence of debt now. That's something that I'll admit to you. It's interesting. I will have to say I don't know, and I can't express any opinion on that.
Well, may I encourage you to look up the definition of Federal Reserve note under Title 12, and then go into Title 31, which has to deal with coins and coinage. The truth is very simple, and the fact is it's Congress. Congress itself has defined Federal Reserve notes as obligations of the United States. Congress itself has declared that notes, bonds, debentures, and obligations of the United States are exempt from United States taxation. You're talking about a federal income tax, sir. So Congress has already stated to the IRS, which is presumed to know the law, buddy, hands off. The only money that is in circulation...
Now, you just said that they are not exempt from federal taxation. Did you mean to say that they are exempt from federal taxation?
I am saying that the law says that Federal Reserve notes are obligations of the United States. That's Title 12.
The law
says under Title 31 that notes, bonds, debentures, and obligations of the United States are exempt from United States taxation, territorial taxation, state, local, all taxation. And the reality is that people are lying on their income tax returns, basically, when they're saying that their Federal Reserve notes, which they're receiving in compensation for their services, are subject to taxation. So basically, the people who are filing these income tax returns, trying to claim ignorance of the law is of no defense, they're making false and fictitious statements that the income that they're receiving is subject to federal taxation when there's two statutes on the books that says they are not. True faith doesn't contradict right reason.
Well, you may have a point. You may have a point. I'll tell you what. There's some of these ideas that are running out there that, frankly, I think that the government has been planting out there in order to dilute the truth some. But now, I'll be totally honest with you here. I've never heard this particular approach. And like I said, I have never really had any exposure to what I call the tax honesty community, which consists of an awful lot of groups and people, until just very recently. So there are going to be some of these theories and approaches and discoveries that I have not examined.
Well,
this is one of them, but I'll tell you what, Rita, I am going to examine it.
I hope so, because the fact of the matter is that, you know, the burden of proof may be on the government to prove its case, but if you've got facts, see, to prove that you're innocent, then by all means, you have responsibility, sir, to bring those facts, you know, before the court.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And it basically, you know, because if they're hoping to convict me, law or no law, fact or no fact,
if
they do, then that's going to discourage others from standing up and taking a stand for the truth.
Well,
and so I realize that in handling this case, I mean, I'm not just dealing with my situation. I'm dealing with everybody else's as well.
Well, I personally, you know, I have watched many people go to jail I think they're con artists, basically. That's what I believe. But I personally went and researched this myself because I had questions in my mind at the time when this gold or silver coin argument was being run around in the 70s. But what I discovered is that our currency, the United States notes, which were in circulation after the Civil War, they were exempt from United States taxation. Actually, this all started back with John Marshall when the states tried to tax
the national bank.
Right. They tried to tax obligations of the United States, which were deposited in the national banks.
They were trying to tax the national bank itself, the property of the national bank, even.
Right. But,
and Marshall, that was in McCulloch v. Maryland. And you'll find that case in every civics book to describe, you know, the effects of the what we now call the elastic clause. And And but that case is, you know, does a ton of things. I mean, it has a it has huge an effect on constitutional law as any case before or since. And it did say that the states cannot tax the bank. Now, the issue in that case, however, was not whether they could tax receipts of U.S. currency or whether they could tax the use of U.S. currency. The issue there was whether they could tax the bank itself. And but I tell you what, I'm going to look at this for you. Now, do you have a copy of the memorandum that I've been giving out?
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't.
Would you do both of us a favor? Because I want to get back in touch with you. I want to look at these provisions that you've referred me to. You've got my curiosity sparked.
Well, I've done a lot of...
I'd like to get back with you and let you know what I found.
Well, that's fine. I don't mind working with, you know, looking at your information.
Yeah.
I merely was trying to help you, sir.
And you may very well have. I mean, you know, that's what we're here for, is to help each other.
Okay.
And I mean, it's them and us. And if we don't prevail on this, if we don't stop what's going on, we're not going to have any freedom. And this is a lot more than it's not just about money. This is about whether the government can control. You know, they use this money to create agencies they're not entitled to create. They use this money to give to the states to buy our legislatures back away from us. And so there's more to it. What I'd like to do is ask you to do me a favor.
What can I do?
If you would, just click, go to liferezone.com.
What is it?
Liferezone.com.
L-I-V-E.
L-I-E, like in telling a lie. Free, FREEZONE, one word, liefreezone, .com.
Uh-huh.
Go to that website. Up on the right-hand side, you'll see a button called Contact Mr. Cryer.
Yeah.
All right, click that. Type in, hi, this is Rita.
Okay.
And send it to me. I don't know who you are.
Okay.
As I might forget this call. And I don't know who you are. And I'll do two things. Number one, I'll send you a copy of the memorandum that sets out the position I've taken with respect to the court. And that's not everything. We've also raised the issues of APA, the fact that there are no tax rates, binding tax rates in effect. We've raised, fact issues where the IRS knew that the claims they were making in the indictment were false, but withheld information by not going and getting it, knowing that it might very well prove innocent, so they didn't go get it.
Is the original indictment, is the original language of the indictment on your site? Or
The original language of the indictment isn't on the site, but I'll be happy to send it to you.
Well, I mean...
I consider that indictment a badge.
Well, you know, the thing about it is you know, every citizen is presumed to know what he's being accused of.
And, that's right. And what they've accused me of doing is of hiding income in a trust, and the trust lost money both years.
Uh-huh.
And they would have known that if they had subpoenaed the trust. Now, they subpoenaed everything else, including my dry cleaning account.
Well, I think
they didn't want to know whether or not I made money. They wanted just to make charges on the basis so that there was income hidden in a trust, which had nothing to do with taxes.
Well, Mr. Cryer, the key issue is it's not whether or not one has received income. It's whether or not one has received taxable income.
Now you've got it, because, you see, that's the thing that the government, you just struck on the exact point. I mean, the whole point. You boiled it down in about five words. Whether you've received taxable income.
I believe you can prove it.
If you look at the tax reader, the first section says the tax is imposed on taxable income, which means that the tax is not imposed on non-taxable income.
That's true.
All right. What they don't tell you is what is non-taxable income.
Well, the law tells you that.
Well, later in the code, though, they tell you that some things can't be taxed, and that you're entitled to take those out of gross income. And they also tell you some things cannot be included as income, and you can take those out of gross income.
Well, you know, Mr. Cryer, I would love to discuss this.
But they never
this.
Tell you what they are. They also tell you, and they admit that their income, items of income that are exempt. And then they tell you four items that are not exempt, but they don't tell you what is exempt.
Well, Mr. Bain, I'm sorry, sorry. Mr. Cryer, I'll be glad to look at your website and get in contact with you. However, you know, I'm sure you want some other viewers to be able to contribute.
Well, certainly.
But I would love to talk to you on a more lengthy basis, because there's been a lot of research, and since you're an attorney, I think you'll understand what I have to share with you.
Let me do this. You just send me this. This is Rita, okay?
Right.
I'm going to send you the memorandum. I'm going to look at Title 12. I'm going to look at Title 31.
Right.
And then I'll let you know whether I think there's anything to that. If I don't, I'll tell you that, too.
You
raised an interesting point that I'm frankly too ignorant to comment on. And when I find it's something I don't know, it's going to kill me until I do. Okay? So you know... You know I'm going to dig into this. I know I've spent an inordinate amount of your time, and we're going to get back to other callers in just a minute. But I thank you for your call, Rita.
You
it's been terrific.
Welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going here until after the break, and call me up at 800-313-9443, and we'll talk about it.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Welcome back to the Life Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, the Bad Peasant. And we've been talking to Rita for a good while there with some interesting questions about the effect of the Federal Reserve notes. We're going to have to look into that, but I do want to caution everybody that until we do, I can't suggest anybody rely on that. We don't have citations. We don't have particular cases. But I will tell you, I will look into it. If there's something there, we'll talk about it on a future show. Others have been calling in and asking how they can get a copy of the memorandum. This calls quite a stir. I mean, I'm getting a lot of demands for it. Originally, when the website liefreezone.com was set up in order to generate help for my defense, because they did catch me flat-footed financially, flat-footed and flat broke, memorandum, which I had filed in support of my motion to dismiss, was being offered as a gift of appreciation for donations. If, however, somebody who is not in a position or not even willing to help with our defense cost, that's all right. I'll still give them a copy. All you have to do to get the memorandum is to do just as I had suggested to Rita a little while ago. Go to liefreezone.com. That's one word, liefreezone.com. Click on Contact Mr. Cryer at the top and say, please send me your memo, and I'll send it to you. I want everybody to know about this. The memorandum, I've got a notation on the front of it that says that this memorandum is not copyrighted, and distribution is not only authorized but encouraged. I want people to know the truth. There's no royalty associated with it. I want people to know the truth. I want them to know what the law is and what their rights are. Because if people don't know what their rights are, they cannot protect them. You don't know to protect something you don't have. You don't know you have. So the memorandum is available on the Live Free Zone. And I'm in the process of changing that so that you can just click on it and download it straight up. But until I get that change made to the website, just click Contact Mr. Cryer, write in, please send me your memo, and I will send it to you ASAP. So now I understand we've got Henry in Connecticut with us today. How you doing, Henry? Well, maybe we don't have Henry in Connecticut.
Hello? Yeah, you forgot. Yeah. Okay, somebody didn't press a button.
Hello, oh,
I can
hear
now.
All right. Henry, how are you doing today?
Yeah, hi. Okay. I'm sorry the other person had left. I wanted to give her my phone number. I wanted to call. Yeah, what she's probably saying probably is true. Now, when she says Title 12, is she talking about Title 12 of the United States Code specifically?
I'm assuming that that's what she said, but
okay.
She didn't say Title 12 of the United States Code specifically, but it's the only title that would apply to Federal Reserve notes in defining an obligation of the United States.
Yeah, that's true, because anything...
Right, it would be the title of the Delaware Code, you know, I'm assuming...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'll tell you something else, too, to put this on top of that. You know, in a section in the United States Constitution, it also says that no debt shall be payable other than gold and silver coin.
Well, it says that no state.
Yeah, no state, right.
It says that no state shall issue currency in anything other than gold and silver.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that no debt shall be paid in any other manner. I mean, that's a big difference there.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, but see... Oh, you got the music.
We've got the music. We're going to be up for a break. You haven't made your point, Henry. We're going to hold you over if you got a minute.